Well, just looking at the data from the US over the course of the past week, the key readings, I think, are that there's still some residual strength running through the US economy. It's not there in all of the readings, but the key ones, for example, retail sales month of June had a positive sign on the front of them. They're up 0.2% for headline retail sales, and the previous month was revised up to plus 0.5%. Core retail sales plus 0.3% for the most recent month, which is better than expected, and up 0.5% on revision for the previous month. So you've got some strong contributions starting to show again from consumer spending running through to GDP, and we'll see advanced Q2 GDP reading coming out later this week from the US. And at this stage, certainly nowhere near a negative sign on the front of it, probably going to be around about positive 1.8% annualised. It was plus 2 annualised on revisions going back to Q1. So the US economy is still performing relatively well. Now, the other strongish reading that will probably be concerning the Fed was initial jobless claims over the most recent week. For a period there, we were getting up around the 260,000, which suggested maybe we'd get things softer running through the labour force data going ahead. Well, it's come back down again, and so we're down to 228,000 for the most recent week from 237,000 the previous week. It appears if there's a second wind, if anything, going through the labour market, which is the last thing the Fed wants at this stage, because the Fed, like every other major central bank, is playing off what signs there are of cooling in the inflation rate against the continuing strength running through labour markets. And, of course, strong labour markets mean strong wage growth, and that can be problematic as far as the Fed's concerned. So moving into this week, the key events, well, we've got the FOMC meeting coming up on Wednesday, and at this stage for a while there, the markets were toying with the idea that maybe the Fed could pause again, so keeping at 5.25% for the funds rate. It's looking less like that. It looks as if they may need to do another 25 basis points, and that's notwithstanding the fact that the CPI came down to 3% year on year. The problem is, it can't stay down there when you're looking at strong labour market and what's feeding through in terms of wage growth. Later in the week, once they get the QT GDP out of the way, and unfortunately and inconveniently that's after the Fed meeting, but on the back of that, they'll get the employment cost index will come out, and that's going to be a fairly significant reading towards the end of the week. Moving up. It was up 1.2% quarter on quarter going back to Q1. It looks as if it'll be up around about the 1.1% mark. Annualising that, you're well and truly into the mid-fours, and that's the problem as far as the Fed's concerned. But unfortunately, that key reading they won't see until after the Fed meeting, and that's a bit of risk for them because they may want to have that rate hike tucked away in anticipation of an employment cost index reading around that 1.1% mark. Also later in the week, we'll get their preferred inflation measure, the June core personal consumption expenditure deflator that comes out on Friday. That's running at 4.6% year on year. It's been sticky around that level and looks as if it'll stay around that level for the most recent reading. We'll also get a couple of leading indicators coming out through the course of this week. Early in the week, we'll get the July Conference Board consumer confidence reading. That had a big jump last month to 109.7. Expected to jump again to 113. And similarly so with the July Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey, the preliminary reading of that comes out right at the end of the week, and that's expected to rise from 64.4 to 72.6. So, some fairly strong lead indicator readings starting to come through, and that's partly driven by people are fully employed, they're getting good wage increases, the wage increases are now starting to beat the CPI, so it's feeding back into spending pressure and to keeping that strength going and just pushing the Fed back towards having to tighten a little bit further. Now, moving to China, and last week, We had their GDP read came out. It was a disappointing GDP read. The market was looking for around about 1.5% quarter on quarter. It came in at 0.8% quarter on quarter. That did allow the year-on-year GDP read to lift to 6.3% from 4.5%. The problem is it won't stay there. That 6.3%, the base going back to the middle of last year, was when they were right in the lockdown periods and was extraordinarily weak. So it's a bounce off that very low base. That'll work its way lower. And if you're getting around 0.8% GDP reads, you know, obviously you, once you start annualising that, you can't really get up to the 5% GDP growth target that the party has in place for this year. And that was a story that came through from the June readings that we got out. We had June fixed investment spending sliding a bit to 3.8% year-on-year from 4%, going back to May. Industrial production, a little bit of a lift in that. That lifted to 4.4% from 0.5%. But retail sales, which had been motoring along pretty well, although decelerating over the last month or two, well, there's a further deceleration and a big one for the most recent month. We went from 12.7% year-on-year down to 3.1% year-on-year. So quite a deal of deceleration running through there. People's Bank of China had their monthly meeting and decided to do nothing this month. Previous month they actually eased, but it was a tiny easing of only 10 basis points down to 3.55%. They've left their interest rates at 3.55%. So at this stage, whilst there's anticipation that the Chinese will at some point announce some stimulus measures to help the economy to lift a bit further, there's not much evidence at this point. We have no other real data coming out through the course of this week, so it's going to be a fairly quiet week as far as Chinese data concerned. Moving to Australia, and we had the RBA minutes. It showed that there's some sensitivity to the pressure that high interest rates are putting into households, but there's also recognition in the discussion that a tight labour market will still could mean that they have to lift interest rates further, even though they decide to pause at the most recent meeting. And then we got the June labour force data, and these are still very strong. We had employment was about double expectations. It lifted 32,600, and that was after a 76,600 lift the previous month. So it's 110,000 jobs growth in just 2 months. The participation rate came back a touch to 66.8%, and the unemployment rate, after a revision downwards to the last month, to May, to 3.5%, held down at 3.5%. It was expected to be around about 3.6%. So the labour market at the moment is running way stronger than the RBA anticipated, even as recently as early May. And if anything, that's a key factor, which probably means that they're more likely to hike than stay on pause when we get through to the 1st August policy meeting. Now, obviously, we've got CPIs coming out this week. That's both the monthly and the quarterly CPI, monthly for June, the quarterly for Q2. And that may have some bearing, but it's got to be a very, very low reading, because even though you've got some deceleration running through inflation at the moment, it can't persist when you've got this strength in the labour market and what that implies for wage growth, which in turn will make it very hard to get down to consistently to 2 to 3% inflation target. We've got the Q2 CPI on Wednesday. At this stage, the market's looking for 1% quarter on quarter. That would reduce the annual inflation rate to 6.2% from 7%. The trim mean with that, they're expecting 1.1%. That would reduce the annual rate to 6% from 6.6%. And the weighted median, they're expecting 1% on that. That would reduce the annual rate to 5.4% from 5.8%. There's reasonable deceleration in the annual rates, but really we've got to get a lot more than that to get within cooey of of getting down towards the 3% target. The June reading was at 5.6% year on year. Going back to May, may come down to 5.5 or 5.4. But again, we're still well north of where we need to be over time. And the labour market data is suggesting that you just can't get there. It's way too strong for the time being. Later in the week, we'll get some export prices and import prices. Export prices probably rose in Q2 quite substantially too. Import prices probably fell because of the reduction running through the energy price market. So watching those, plus some producer price index indicators coming out on Friday. Also on Friday, we'll get the monthly June retail sales number. Back in May, we had a surprisingly strong 0.7% lift. Be interesting just to see whether we get another lift on the back of that. Whilst there's plenty of stories that people are doing it tough and they're pulling in on their spending, it's not there in the retail sales data at the moment. Retail sales data is saying that people are still spending pretty freely. And perhaps one reason for that is that whilst people are stretched in terms of what they have to pay in terms of mortgage rates, they're able to get jobs very, very freely. In the labour force data there, sort of basically it's not just the unemployment rate that's down. Hours worked have shifted up hugely over the past year. The underemployment rate is very, very low by historical comparison. So the number of people who can work more hours, work two jobs if they wish to or three, has risen substantially over this past year. And so, that means that, there's a lot of wherewithal there for people to meet these payments. They'll gripe about them and talk about how tough they're doing it, but they don't talk about, oh, by the way, I had a second job, and now I can actually meet these quite comfortably. Those are the sorts of things where there's some anomalies running through things, but the retail sales data are sort of picking through that and suggesting that people are still spending relatively freely. Moving to Europe. Last week, we had the preliminary consumer confidence survey, month of July. It's a slight improvement in that to minus 15.1 from minus 16.1. We also had the June CPI, that came down to 5.5% year-on-year from 6.1%. Everywhere you look around the world, you've got this temporary falling away of inflation rates, but you've still got the very, very tight labour markets. And that's going to factor into the ECB meeting. They meet this coming Thursday. And it doesn't matter which central bank you're looking at, they're all playing the game of trying to match off this near-term cooling of inflation, which looks as if it's going to be fairly temporary, against what's still very, very tight labour market conditions. And the ECB have been no exception to that. If anything, the trade-off's even harder there because there have been some very big pay claims going through on low unemployment running through many European countries. So the ECB looks as if it will hike by 25 basis points when it meets on Thursday, and that will take their cash rate up to 3.75% from 3.5%. I should also mention that we're running our way through reporting season too in the United States, and the reports from companies so far have been on the strong side, which is what you'd expect when the economy is still actually running pretty well. So we've still got that relative strength running through. It's just the ebbing and flowing of how people view what central banks have to do. For a period there, going back a week or so back, people thought they're almost dead set at the top in terms of rates. That's just starting to fall away again as people recognise that this residual strength that's running through means that there's still probably a bit of work to do for the central banks as they go ahead. So some undulation running through those expectations.